Good morning, Christ Today listeners out there listening to Christ Today. I hope you listen weekly. We're out here today to encourage you, to inform you, but most of all, to bring forth not bad news, not just the great news, not just the good news, but the great news of our Lord and Savior and what He's doing in people's lives today. Hope you really enjoyed last week's testimony that we had on last week, and I hope that you'll enjoy this week's information that you'll be receiving and testimony that you'll be receiving. Our guest today is Tori Tipp. Good morning, Tori.
Hey, good morning, Curtis. Thank you for having me on the show.
You are more than welcome. So, Tori, why don't you go into a little bit about who Tori was, who Tori became, and now who Tori is becoming in the Lord. Just tell us how you came to Christ, how you, what He's been doing in your life, and where He's taken you. You know, but
sure.
Start off with your testimony first.
Well, you know, where to start? Because God is so good, thinking of everything that you can tell on one radio show. But I grew up in an amazing Christian home, basically Warden June Cleaver type people. My dad was a junior high principal, and my mom was a stay-at-home mother, and just I have two beautiful, wonderful sisters, and was just so blessed to be in a good Christian home. We went to church every Sunday, Wednesday night. My dad was the superintendent at the church.
What church was this?
It's an Assembly of God church in a little town called Osborne, Kansas. Mm. It's in northwestern part of Kansas. Mm. And it's a great place to go up. Wonderful, good people there. And at the age of five, I remember Brother Hollis, he was the pastor of our church at that time, gave an altar call, and I let my daddy know that I wanted to go up and receive Jesus.
Mm, amen.
At 5 years old. Now, I can still see this. I can see it. And I'm up there, and my dad goes with me, and he's with me at the altar, and he leads me in a prayer to receive Jesus at five. Mm. And I prayed that prayer in earnest at 5 years old.
Mm. Wow.
So I was able to receive Jesus at a very early age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you grow up and there's always distractions in life.
Mm-hmm.
Kids in schools, and especially these days, I mean, there's so much that they're getting bombarded with. And everybody wants to be popular, right? Everybody wants to be on the in crowd.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to be disliked or called names for, you know, being a Christian. So I started doing other things, right? So I started doing the things that, you know, I shouldn't be doing. I was drinking and partying and the normal, I don't want to say normal, but kid stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So you get involved with that and you hide it from your parents and then you go off to college, and then, oh my goodness, at college, you don't have the strict parents around.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one there to tell you to get up and go to class. There's no one to tell you to go to church, when to be home, when to go to bed. And so, you know, I explored that freedom vastly.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the age of 20, my dad died. My rock, our rock in our family, our pillar, he had had cancer for 8 years. He had lymphoma cancer and had it longer than most people. Very grateful that we had him. You know, as long as we did, but our rock was suddenly gone.
Hmm.
So my dad always had faith that he was going to be healed, and he was searching for his healing and why he wasn't being healed.
Hmm.
And I think that so many people have had that situation
mm-hmm.
in their family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough one because you're like, what's going on? Hmm. Where's God? Where is he?
Yep.
Why didn't he show up? Why didn't he heal me? Why didn't he heal my dad?
Mm-hmm.
And you watch the man that you love with all your heart, your best friend, the one that was there for you,
mm.
die.
Mm.
And so instead of running to God at that point, I ran away from God.
Yeah.
I ran to girls and beer and partying and anything I could do to stop the pain.
Yeah, because you didn't believe that God cared. You didn't believe that he was there for you. You didn't really, you really doubted him. You're like, how could a good God do something like this, right?
Yeah, those thoughts crossed your mind, right?
So why turn everything over to God when if it's not right, if it's not fair, it's got to be his fault. So you might as well just take it on your own. That's what a lot of people are looking at today, I think. A lot of people are recognizing things in their life and going, you know what? God just isn't fair. You know what? If God loved me, this wouldn't happen. And they get angry. They get angry at God. They get hurt. They get hurt at God. And so instead of running to him, they run from him, which makes their life worse instead of better. Am I not correct with that?
Absolutely.
Continue on.
Sure, you bet. And now for me, I knew God was there, but I was just running from the pain. You know, we all have a choice. Mm-hmm. Life is about choices. Yep. Success is about choices.
Yep.
We're all faced with a choice each and every day.
Yep.
So, like the Word says, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. And he even tells us which one to choose. Choose life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but we all make choices. And so, but my choice at that time in my life was just to run. And it was to be a part of the world, a part of the crowd, to try to find that love and missing void in my life through women and partying and anything that I could do to numb that pain of losing my dad. And that went on for a long time. Now, the funny thing about it is I could be in a bar and I'd be out looking across the bar and I could feel God. I could feel him in the bar. And just so I know that he was always there and he was always with me, even though I wasn't doing what I should do, I still believed. I still love God. I just made wrong choices. And those choices, you know, can begin to numb your heart. And the things that you should be doing, you're not doing. And the things you don't want to do, you find yourself doing, as Paul said in the New Testament. But so this went on for, a good portion of my 20s. And then I went to Bible school. And I have a funny story to tell that. I started taking guitar lessons from a 92-year-old lady by the name of Madge Gantenbind. Mm. And this was in Grove, Oklahoma. And I guess I should back up. I was getting ready to go out to Nashville. I had sang and at a contest out there in Nashville and did well. And I thought, this is my big break. I'm going to go to Nashville and become a country singer. But my aunt, who lived in Grove, Oklahoma, Aunt Mary, got me to come to Grove instead. She said, Grove, Oklahoma is just like a little Branson. You can come here, get your feet wet, and then you can go on to Nashville. Well, she lied. Grove was nothing like a little Branson. We had a few, different things. The Pelican Fest. Hey, I sang at the Pelican Fest, right? So, different things around Grove, and I ended up being the radio, and we had some neat things going on, but it was definitely not a little Branson. So I was there, and I was on the radio station there for a year, and I met Madge Gantenbein, and Madge gives guitar lessons, and I wanted to play the guitar and sing, so I start taking guitar lessons from her. And her husband, Ed, he was only 90, so Madge liked younger guys, I guess, but...
the younger, the better.
Yeah, right? Yeah, she was 92, he was 90, so
one
yeah.
One foot on the ground, one yeah. foot in the grave, all right, yeah.
They're just beautiful, sweet people, ministers of the gospel. Amen. Of their hearts. They had missions to Haiti, that's where their heart was. So after a few guitar lessons, Ed says, Tori, would you like to do a Bible study with me? And I'm like, okay. What are you going to do, tell a 90-year-old guy? No thanks. So I start doing a Bible study with Ed Gantenbein.
Hmm.
And we were, I don't even know how to explain it, but this Bible study just seemed like it was 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we went in there and is this the study in his house, and we were in there for what seemed to be like 30 minutes just talking about the Word, and it was exploding before me like I'd never seen it before. It was being revealed in revelation, and I was asking questions, and Ed was answering them, and the Spirit of the God was moving. And all of a sudden, Madge comes in, and she says, "Ed, are you going to let him come out here for his lesson?" And Ed's like, "Well, yeah." She said, "Well, you've been in there 4 hours."
Oh, gosh.
And it didn't seem like 30 minutes.
Wow.
But it was amazing. So we started having Bible studies. And then I went over for my lesson one day, and they said, "Tori, sit down. We've got to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." And they said, they just jumped on me with this passion. And they said, "Tori, you've got to go to Bible school." I said, "I do." They said, "Yes, you've got to go to Rhema." I said, "I do." I didn't want to go to Rhema. Mm. My dad always wanted me to go there. I didn't want to go. And they said, "Yes, and you've got to go now." I said, "I do." They're, "Yes." They got up and they said, "You've got to go." And I'm like, "Okay." And so I go and I apply to get into Rhema. And they turned me down. They said, "Hey, you know, it's already after the window of this year. You're going to have to wait until next year to go. You can't start at halfway through the year. It's you start at the first of the year, or you wait till next year."
Wow.
So I said, "Well, okay, God, I tried." Mm-hmm. And I went home, and I was living with my aunt and uncle, George and Mary Dale, and in Grove, Oklahoma. And I was sleeping, and the Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, Curtis.
Wow.
Set straight up, straight up in the middle, straight up in bed. And I felt this power, this burning inside of me, and I felt the Lord burning and pulling me to go to Rhema. And I said, "Okay, God, I'll go. I'll do what I have to do, but you've got to get me in." And so they told me no 5 more times. But I was persistent.
That's the way to
be. Because the Lord was leading me and tugging and pulling my heart to go.
Persistency is key.
It is. It is.
A lot of us don't get anywhere because we're not persistent.
That's right. Stand at the door and knock. Knock, right? Knock, seek, knock, find. Knock. Yep. So at that point, I called and I said, "All right, I'm going to call again." And I got a hold of this lady at Rhema Bible Training Center in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I told her my story. And she said, "Can you hold a minute?" I said, "Sure." And just a few minutes later, a gentleman gets on the phone and he says, "Assistant Dean Yoder." And I'm like, I could hardly talk. I said, "Yes, Dean Yoder, this is Tori Tipp." And I told him my story of how the Lord had been pressing me to go to Rhema this year. And he says, "Well, do you think you could be down here in 2 weeks and find a place to live and find a job to support yourself while you're going through school?" And I said, "Well, certainly." I said, "If the Lord gets me in, I figure he's already got the job and the place to live." He goes, "Very well then. I'll put you through with my recommendation on it. See you in 2 weeks." So the Lord opened the door. What was a closed door, he opened wide the gates.
He kicked it open.
Oh, man. Did he ever.
Let me ask a couple questions, Tori.
Sure.
So, could you have been the man you were without going to Bible school?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And you went to, you decided to pursue Bible school. But with the God in you and the creator of the world in you and him being greater in you than he is in the world, you think it was just a test of your obedience, whether you'd be faithful or not to go? You think you'd still be able to be the man that you were if you had not gone?
No.
Do you think he was just testing your obedience?
No, it's a part of the Lord's plan.
Okay.
So could I become the man that I am now without that? Certainly, as long as it's a part of God's plan for me. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will mold you. He will fashion your life. He has ordained us from the beginning to the end. He knows the numbers of hairs upon our head. He directs our paths.
Amen.
And the Lord is with us. So if you've got off track, if you haven't followed the Lord, or if you've been with the Lord and been like me, where you've gone back and forth multiple times from the Lord to the world, to the Lord, to the world, back and forth seemingly, how do I stay on track? Just know that the Lord is with you. And when you turn to Him, He's going to make those crooked paths straight. He's Amen. Going to open the doors that need to be opened.
Amen.
He is the one that has a plan for good and not for evil, to prosper you and not to harm you, and to bring you to a good and confident end on the day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So absolutely. But this was a part of God's plan for my life.
Okay.
And so certainly,
Thank you for clarifying. You bet.
You don't have to go to Bible school. But it was the right thing for me. I learned a lot. I got a lot of word in me. And that word begins to change your mind. That word is life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. That word will transform your mind. That renewing of the word renews your mind on a daily basis. You got to keep the word in, because if you don't and you start replacing it with the things of the word of the world, sooner or later that world will take over your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And you'll find yourself doing things you did not want to do. You will find yourself in a bad situation and you'll wonder to yourself, how did I get here? And that is just a little bit. You know, there's a song, I believe it's, I don't remember who sings it, but it says, it's a slow fade when black and white turn to gray. And it's, so you've got to keep that word before your eyes. Meditate on it day and night, the word says. Meditate on the word day and night. Curtis, when is it not day?
It's always day.
Okay. When
it's
is it not day?
When it's night.
Yeah, when is it not night?
When it's day.
So day and night, meditate on that word, 24/7.
There's a song called Day and Night.
Really?
Day and Night.
I like it.
You know, Tori, though, a lot of people are under obligation. They're under the law. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today, and I want to ask you in just a minute, it's before we go to a break, and we're going to go to a break and come back, but I want you to talk about grace, because a lot of people get caught up under having to do, must do. Do. And you and I talked about it a couple weeks ago, the do gospel. And we have to clearly explain to our listeners the difference between getting to versus doing or having to, because I want people out there to understand it's the grace of God that compels us. It's the grace of God that gets the job done. It's the grace of God in us, working through us. It's a mess, but working through us to be everything He wants us to be. So when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Is that all right?
That sounds great to me.
Okay, so listeners, taking a break for a moment. I want you, if you love this show, you like this show, you're impressed by this show, you are really blessed to have me on the air weekly to talk to you. It's not me. It's the Lord through me. I hope it's encouraging you. And I know we had a couple on last week, Domingo and Irene Garcia, and, you know, they were talking about adoption and family and marriage. And today we've got Tori on. He's sharing his testimony. But if you guys are encouraged by this show, feel free to call 894-7325. Let us know. I've had a few calls in the past, but I like getting your guys' calls. It means a lot to me to hear what you guys feel, how you guys feel. And also, if you're out there thinking about supporting the show, feel free to do so. It's a pleasure when you get an opportunity to support something or to be a part of helping something that's on the air that's really coming at you and bringing you very good stuff, very positive stuff. And that's what my goal is. My desire is to bring you positive stuff on a weekly basis. So I wanted to let you also know real quick that we're going to have next week, the 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th in Gerber. And I don't know the exact street address, but it's on Mariposa. It is Joan Pierce's School of Healing and Ministry. She will be there next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with Saturday being an outreach. And call the station. I'll try to get the radio information to the station regarding the exact address of where she's at. But she's at on Mariposa, and it's going to be a really good time of just coming and just being blessed, being ministered to, and receiving from God. So I hope that you guys are going to take note of that. And it's next week. It starts Wednesday night, goes Thursday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, and Saturday morning. I will be here to do the show next Thursday, so you won't miss the show. But God bless you, and looking forward to hearing from you, and we're going to get back to the program. All right, so Tori, before we left the show, we were talking about the grace of God. So was there a little bit more that you wanted to share before you got into the grace of God, or what do you can share a little bit more if you like? Or
sure.
You...
Well, right now we're up to the point where I get into Bible school.
Okay, cool.
So we'll kind of, break there, so just kind of keep that as a point, as a reference.
Cool.
But about the grace of God. So, the word says, it's not by works, lest any man should boast of how good I am or what I've done. You know, it talked about it in Jesus' days. You have the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the religious people. But these were the religious people, and these are really the people that gave Jesus all the trouble. For the most part, they were the ones that caused problems. And Jesus said, I didn't come for those who were saved, but those who needed a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And he hung out with the tax collectors, and he fellowshipped with the people that were considered maybe less desirable, prostitutes. And so he had actually a pretty ragtag bunch of disciples
mm-hmm.
that he drew together and said, follow me. And they did.
Yep.
Wouldn't that have been awesome? But now we have that opportunity today to be the same. We can be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, Christ in us, the fullness of his glory. So think about this. Today, referencing back to the word of God that Jesus said, the works that I have done, you'll also do. And even greater works, because the Holy Spirit has come. So it was profitable, Jesus saying, it's a good thing that I'm going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So that Holy Spirit, his power will fill you and flood you and lead you and guide you and direct you. And the same
Amen.
Works that I have done, you shall also do. Amen. And even greater works.
Because he's doing
it. That Holy Spirit has come and filled us with the fullness of his power and glory.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
We don't have to beat ourselves up when we miss
no.
it. We don't have to be on ourselves if we haven't witnessed every day or read the
yeah.
Bible all the way through. Or, you know, there's
it's not by works.
There's opportunities that we both have missed, I'm sure. And you got people out there saying, I have a buddy of mine right now saying, well, you know, you must read the Bible all the way through, and you got to take every day as an opportunity to witness to people. And if those opportunities come available, I want to be ready. But you're right. It's not by works. It's by the grace of God and the grace of God in us. And if he's at work in us and he's doing it in us, we're not going to miss what he wants to do in us.
That's right.
We're yielded and submitted to the Spirit. Correct?
Hey, man, that's right. If we make mistakes, and we all do, don't live under that condemnation.
Amen.
The word says, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If you do something wrong and I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's not going to convict you, but the Holy Spirit will not condemn you. And so, you know, if you're feeling condemnation, well, that's just Satan. You're not good enough. See, you messed up again. There you go. Nice job.
He'll convict you of righteousness and convince you when you're doing wrong.
Right? So that Holy Spirit, you know, tugging at you, hey, you know, get before the Lord. Say, hey, Lord, I am so sorry. I messed up. I repent. That means you got to turn away from the sin.
Change your mind, change your life,
change your direction. So, yes, God's grace. You know, it says in the Word that where sin abounds, grace. Yeah, go ahead, say it.
Grace much more abounds.
Yes, grace abounds much more. So,
I'm
right.
Shut up and let you talk.
No, you're doing great. Thanks for giving your 2 cents. We're just working this together, right?
Amen.
So, this is, you know, this is just the Word of God becoming alive in us and His Holy Spirit. So, that's a great thing. And I'm so grateful for His grace, His mercy, because I feel everyone feels like, oh my goodness, I've messed up so much. I haven't been able to do what I needed to do. I've fallen away. I've come to God and I fall away again. And I come back to Him and I fall away again. I start doing things that I shouldn't do. But His, where sin abounds, His grace abounds much more.
Amen.
That He is always there, ready to forgive you, ready to restore you, ready to get you going and the plan that He has for you. So
I want to jump on that. A lot of people say fallen from grace when we blow it or we sin. No, we're fallen from grace back unto the law when we get our mind back on the law and we start thinking about the law again and we're trying to go according to the law. That's when we've fallen from grace. When we fall into sin, His grace is there. His grace is there to catch us. His grace is there to cover us. His grace is there to hold us up. It's like a trampoline. Or like a tarp, it catches you. It keeps, you know.
Mm.
But the more that you keep doing it over and over and over and over without understanding His grace and without desiring to change, sooner or later, that thing's going to give loose.
Yeah.
And you've got to understand His grace so that you don't want to keep falling into that.
Yeah.
And the only thing that can help you is the help of the Holy Spirit through the reading of the Word, through keeping your mind on the Bible. Yesterday, this whole week, I've been listening to like James the other day and Romans yesterday and trying to listen to the Scriptures daily because I have a hard time with reading it. But getting the Word somehow, some way in you, that is the hope of glory, Christ Jesus being in you. And folks, more than ever before, we need the Word in us because things are coming at us. And if we don't know, we're going to get sucked under like a current. It's just going to come. But where sin abounds, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against it.
Ah, come on.
But we got to have the standard. And what's the standard? The Word. The Word is in us and the Word is against it. It's not going to be able to take effect in our life or to take us under. And He's looking for ways to try to get our focus off of Christ and on to what we're doing, what we're not doing, how we're screwing up, how we're messing it. So anyways, I just wanted to share that. So Corey, get back to
you. Bet. Again. So grace is not a license to sin.
No,
grace is not a license to sin. Grace is Jesus standing here with open arms saying, hey, come to me, mm-hmm. come here, mm-hmm. you know? And so there is no condemnation. You mess up, get back to Jesus, get on your knees. And so we're at Bible school now, going back to my testimony of my life and how the Lord has saved me, healed me, delivered me, set me free.
done all that good.
Oh, He's so good. So I'm in Bible school now, and not now, but at this point. So I'm 30 years old, going through Bible school at Rhema Bible Training Center in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And you would think, okay, well, he's in Bible school, right? He's got things lined out, right? So, not really.
You didn't have it all together?
No. So I really learned a lot, but, it's all about choices, and Satan's going to throw things at you, right? And you can, right? And so you can either make a good choice, make a bad choice, make the right choice, make your choice with the flesh, or make a choice through the leading of His Holy Spirit. So, I went through Bible school, and I stayed away from alcohol and girls during that time, so I kept my commitment. mm-hmm. of going through Bible school. But, once you're out of Bible school, so between my next 10 years, again, I'm doing good. I get out of Bible school and I start falling in the temptations of the world again, Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Start going back to alcohol and to girls.
What brought you into that?
I don't know. I wish I really knew. I guess bad choices, right? Mm-hmm. So making the wrong choice.
Yeah.
Maybe my heart wasn't fully His. Maybe I was going to church. I believed. And I tell you, I had some great movements, some great things going on. But I don't know if it was my age or exactly what, but there's always that enticement. The devil goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who can he devour? Well, I'll tell you who he can devour: the ones that don't have their mind fixed upon the Word
Jesus.
Of God, that don't have their mind and heart fixed on the Lord, who let the temptations of this world entice them and pull mm-hmm. them away. You got to watch what you're putting before your eyes, because if you're putting pornography, or if you're putting the things of the world, if you're putting alcohol, if you're finding yourself in a bar, if you're finding yourself watching things on just the commercials on TV, then you're going to be enticed, and you will find it hard to stay close to your Heavenly Father. You'll have a hard time staying close to Jesus, even though that He's there for you, even though His grace is there, even though He's saying, hey, come on, do the right thing. You can find yourself in a mess.
I chuckled when you said bar, because I just got into a big old argument this week with somebody, because the other night, I live at the rescue mission, and the other night, I wanted to go to a bar to hear a concert. Now, I don't go in there to drink, I don't go in there to do anything, but I was mm-hmm. going to go in there to witness. And this guy said, the bar is a place of sin. We as Christians don't belong in there. But you know what? If Christ was here, He would go in there.
He probably
would.
Go
into the casino. So if we're full of Him, and if we don't have a problem with drinking, And if we're going in to witness, but if we're just going in to hang out, and I think the $3 cover charge was the Lord telling me, I don't want you in here. And I think that was his stopping of me going in there because I wasn't going to pay $3 for a cover charge to go into a bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think also with the casinos, I have a buddy of mine who's a minister. He travels to the casinos, and I've been with him a few times, and I love to eat. But I also think that if we're not careful, we can fall into that temptation, which I have, of putting money in the machine, and it's better to give it elsewhere where it can really be used, and it can really be because chances are you're not going to win anything in that casino. And if you did, what are you going to do with it? You're going to give it to the Lord? Probably not. So the best thing to do, unless you're going in there to minister, don't even touch the machines. Get something to eat and get the heck out. But you can go anywhere for that matter and get food. But I think when you're saying watch the places that we go, yeah, with the porn and stuff like that, we ain't got no business going there. And we do, we need to stop ourselves and say, God, help me. I need your help right now. Because
hey, it's every man's battle.
Men struggle. Men struggle.
And it's every man's
to think
battle.
That we're not going to struggle with it without the help and grace of God, there we go.
So, well, the word also says run from the very appearance of evil.
Yes.
So, you know, what you put in, you're going to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go, right? Be careful, little tongue, what you say. So, you've got to make some good decisions and to run from the very appearance of evil. Do the right thing. Make good choices. And the most important thing that's going to keep you and keep me is the Word. The Word is life to those who find it. It is health to all their flesh. The Word of God, as it says in Hebrews 4:12, it is quicker than and more powerful than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder to bone and marrow, dividing line between soul and spirit, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart of man. The Word of God, that is life. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's that word that is the life. I'm telling you, the life is in the Word. And you got to stay in that Word because it's life-changing. It'll keep you. It'll preserve you. It'll uphold you, that mighty Word that the Lord has given us. So speak only the Word. How did Jesus overcome Satan? He spoke only the Word.
Yeah.
So you got to keep that Word in and before you and on your tongue. Let the Word come out when you get bumped.
I think I want to add to that a little bit. I think you want to keep your eyes on the Word being Jesus Christ, but I think a lot of people can get to the point where they idolize the Bible and they worship the Bible, and they focus more on the Bible than they do Jesus. They say, yeah, Jesus, but they focus more on the book and more on being in the book than being in Christ, and I think that we need to focus on both. I think we need to focus on being in Christ, but also focus, because the letter kills. The Spirit gives life. The letter, the law, was to point us to a Savior, not keep us under bondage. And today, we have grace that says, because of grace, I don't want to do what I used to do. Because
That's
of
right.
grace, I want to worship God. I want to please Him. I want to put Him first. I want to seek Him with all my heart. And it says, hey, I'm free because of Him, because of what He did. He made a new covenant with me. And that covenant was to believe in Him and to love others. And a lot of us say, well, we got to hold on to the law. We got to hold on to the Ten Commandments. We got to follow the Ten Commandments. We want to, but we blow it every day. But the more that we focus on the beauty and we gaze on the beauty of Jesus Christ, the less we are to fall into that temptation. A guy that I had on my show not too long ago, Ken Winton, and I'm listening. I don't know if he's listening or anybody out there is listening, but Ken Winton went through a 5 bypass last week, had a heart surgery at age 50, and or in his 50s, and bypass, 5. And anyways, he said, in an airplane, if you're going east, will you ever hit west? And I thought about it. If you're in an airplane, Tori, if you're going east, you're going to hit west?
And you're always going to be going east.
The Bible says that as far as the east is from the west,
hallelujah,
He remembers our sins no more.
Glory to God.
But if we're in a car and we're going north, and we're focusing on the street map, and we're focusing on the compass and the direction, are we going to hit south? Sure enough. So the more we focus on sin, the more we're going to fall into it. But the more we focus on Jesus, and the more we gaze upon His beauty and His presence, the less we're going to be inclined to want to fall into sin or even want to have anything to do with it. Am I not accurate on that?
Well, the Word of God will keep you, and
amen.
And the Word all points to Jesus. It's
Amen.
All about Jesus. You know, it's when the question is going to be, what did you do with my son? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus is the only way to the Heavenly Father. He's the only way to heaven.
Yes, he is.
There is no other way.
No.
So the Word is life, and the Word points to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, mm-hmm. and receiving His work for us. Because there's nothing we can do on our own to make it to heaven other than receive that free gift that has been paid for us by the precious blood of Jesus. So through my 20s and mostly my 30s there, I just, fell off the wagon, so to speak, and got back into alcohol and partying. And, I was pretty good at getting married. I was just couldn't stay married, so.
So the one you're with now is not the first one.
No, but she's the last one.
Praise God.
So coming up to that, I had gotten back to, I was with the Lord, and I was working, helping a minister, a traveling minister, and I got to travel with him and help him out wherever he went, and the Lord really used me there and got to see a lot of great and wonderful things traveling with this minister through out the Midwest. And I was in Tulsa, and I was at a conference that was being held there. And there came this, I was sitting on the back row, I'd invited one of my friends, and in walks this nice-looking gentleman and these two young ladies with him, and I just noticed how happy they were, and so I felt the Lord go, "That's your wife." And I'm like thinking, okay, that can't be God. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, because I'm not going through that again. I was just fine with me and Jesus, right? So I'd been through that. I didn't want to go through anymore. I just wanted the Lord. Hey, everything was great in my life. He had blessed me with a brand new home. He had blessed me with a new car. Things were going really good, Curtis. I didn't want to get back into that again. So, but I felt the Lord go, No, that's your wife. And I'm like, again, I'm like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm not going there. But it just kept tugging at my heart. That's your wife. And I'm like, okay, God. If this is really you, and that's really my wife, then have her come up and hug me after the service. And I said, not just any hug, but a great big hug, like a big lover's embrace. Because I knew that would never happen. Mm-hmm. There is no way a random stranger is going to come up and hug you for no reason. You'd never met him before.
No, that's true.
So after the service, I'm standing there talking to the minister's wife, and we're talking about the service and how things are going, and here comes Sonia. I see her coming around the corner. She's got this, if you've ever seen my wife, she has a beautiful smile, big beaming smile. And she comes around the corner and comes down the steps and comes right up to me and about as close as I am to this microphone, Curtis. And she goes, "Hi, I'm Sonia," and threw her arms around me and hugged me. And then her eyes got about as big as silver dollars. And she was looked scared as she could be, and then stiffened up and turned around and walked away. And the minister's wife goes, "Wow."
What was that?
"Do you know her? That was something." And I'm like, "No, I've never met her." And as she was walking away, I felt the Lord go, "Was that a big enough hug for you?" And I'm like, "Wow, this is pretty wild." So I've always had the name Tatum Tennille Tip picked out for my little girl over 20 years. So I was...
Why that name?
I don't know. The Lord gave it to me.
That's
why.
That makes
but
sense.
I think I had it picked out from Tatum O'Neill and Captain Antoniel, and I put them together, and it became Tatum Tennille Tip, and I thought, wow, what a beautiful name. So we are happened to end up, God must have designed it, but we end up sitting next to each other after the meeting. They had dinner and so forth, so we end up sitting by each other and started talking, and I felt led to ask her her middle name. And the Lord said, ask her middle name. So I did. And she said, "It's Tennille." And I'm like, oh my goodness. Here, Tatum Tennille Tip. And this woman that just walked into my life. Her middle name is Tennille. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I'd never said anything to Sonia and about what I felt the Lord had told me, but we had started communication, started talking. She was still living with her parents back in Atlanta, Georgia. This was in Tulsa, Oklahoma for this conference. And so we kept communicating over the next few months. And over that time, the Lord had actually, the reason she looked so scared at that point, the Lord told her, that's your husband, when she threw her arms around me. So, you know, and she was, you know, thinking the same thing. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, because she had been through relationships as well and broken marriages and, you know, had you ought to have her on. She's got quite of a testimony of how she came out of abuse.
And, I would have had her on today, but I didn't know.
Oh, she's got an amazing testimony of how the Lord's worked in her life. And so, but the Lord brought us together. He told her the same thing, that I was her husband. And if I would have just listened to myself, I would have never been smart enough to marry her. And so I'm so glad I did. The Lord has taken my life of mosaic pieces and fashioned them back together and made a masterpiece out of it. So at that point, you know, we got together when we were pregnant 2 weeks after we got married. And
we were? I mean, you were pregnant too?
No, not you and I, Curtis. Sonia.
I didn't say me, I said you were pregnant.
Yeah, well,
not me,
yeah, my wife, Sonia.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
When I talk about us, I say we.
I just couldn't imagine you being the pregnant one. You go, never mind. Sorry.
No, that's fine. So Sonia was pregnant, and so 9 months later, we had our baby girl, and I just knew who it was. And of course, since Sonia's middle name was Tennille, she welcomed the name Tatum Tennille Tip, and so we have that beautiful baby girl. And then a couple years later, we have another baby girl coming along by the name of Tegan. Tegan Tiana Tip. So it's pretty amazing. Tatum Tennille Tip means beautiful follower of Christ, of a brave and bold people. And Tegan Tiana, well, actually, I got them switched around there. Tatum Tennille Tip means beautiful follower of Christ. No, one who, I need my wife here for this. It means, Tatum Tennille Tip means one who brings joy powerfully and wholeheartedly of a brave and bold people. And Tegan Tiana Tip means beautiful follower of Christ, of a brave and bold people. So I love my girls. I am smitten by my little angels and my wife. So they've got me so wrapped. I thought I wanted a boy because my name lives and dies with me. I'm the only boy in my family. And I tell my girls all the time, I wouldn't trade you for 10 boys.
Wow. Oh, it must be that special.
Oh, they are amazing. So go ahead. How much time we got here?
We got a few minutes. Okay. And if the Lord tarries,
yeah,
and it comes, which I doubt it, but if it comes to the point that these girls have a guy in their life that just wants to marry them, you better watch out for Daddy Shotgun.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Dad's not going to just let any guy go with his girls, right?
That's right. I'm already praying for their husbands at this point. You bet they'll have that relationship.
I think we'll all be in heaven by that time, yeah. Brother.
So how much more time do we got?
We got 15 minutes.
Okay, good. Okay.
We're going to take another break real fast.
All right.
All right, folks, another break time. And once again, if you're blessed to have this show on the air, feel free to call 894-7325 and let us know. We'd like to hear what you guys think, how you guys feel, and what you guys sense about the show. If you have any ideas or any guests that you'd like to hear on the program, feel free to call. I don't know who you want unless you tell me. And I don't know a lot of people out there. I'm always open to meeting more people and new people and getting to find out about different people. And I'm glad that I've had new people come on the show. And how did that happen? By being out there and meeting them. So opportunity has come about, but I want to let you know this show comes to you weekly, and just know that I'm here, glad to be here. And if you want and you feel to be a blessing to the program, feel free to call 894-7325. Find out how you might be able to sponsor the program. Remember, we're on Saturdays and Sundays from 11 to 12. All right, Tori, we're going to get back to you. We've got 13 minutes left.
Okay, So now after all this wonderful stuff and how the Lord has moved in my life and brought me together with my happily ever after, my beautiful, incredible wife, Sonia, and blessing us with two wonderful baby girls, you would think at that time I would stay on the straight and narrow.
But you didn't.
How'd you guess?
Because you tried on your own.
Right?
Yeah.
So at that point, I had not drank for several years, and I had not drank for the first 2 years of our marriage. But you gotta realize, I'm gonna say this, for I know there's people out there that drink. I don't think that if you drink, you're going to hell.
No.
I think that that's between you and God. So you need to let the Lord lead you. I'm just saying that Tory Tip is a better person. I'm a better Tory when I don't drink. And so I've got this beautiful, amazing family. And let me tell you what's going to lead up to that. But it's all about choices.
Yep.
So I'm just a better me when I don't do it. So I'm going to be the representative of Christ. And then, I cannot drink. I just can't do it. So you think at that point, well, at that point, I ran into a friend, a brother in Christ, and he said, oh, yeah, my family, we get together, we have drinks. Uh-oh. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, well, if he can do it, I can do it.
Not necessarily.
Train wreck, right? So mm-hmm. Not a good thing. So I became a sipping saint. You still go to church, still believe, still tithe, still do all the right things, but I'm also drinking. So, but wine though, right? Because that's okay, because they do it in the Bible, right? I'm not, staying away from the hard stuff, just drink your wine. Well, you don't have to have a whole bottle, right?
Yeah, everybody can drink wine either, though.
Yeah, right? So, yeah, so it's, it's, for me, I'm just a better me when I don't drink. So I came to my pit of my own despair. And I came to a place where I had a train wreck. So I am feeling so horrible. I'm feeling like, God, where are you? I felt that God left me, Curtis. I could not feel him. I could not hear him. And I thought that he had disowned me. I thought that he had turned away from me. I thought that his grace had left me. And that was it.
God had you under a lie.
Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. I don't know how else to describe it, except thinking back about Jesus when he was going, my God, why have you forsaken me? But that's the way I felt. Because I couldn't hear him. I couldn't feel him. I mean, I've been back and forth, done things I shouldn't all my life. I've been with Jesus. I've been doing the right things. And even when I wasn't doing the right things, I could always feel him. I was always knew he's there. Like I said, I could be in a bar, look out across the bar, and feel him tugging at my heart. But I couldn't feel that anymore, Curtis.
Wow.
And it's a scary place to be. Yeah, I'm telling you, when you feel like there's nothing there, there's no hope,
wow,
it's scary. I became suicidal.
Wow.
I was really having to fight suicide.
Wow.
I was, and for about 2 weeks, I was a mess. Just by my wife's prayers and the grace of God that kept me alive and kept me going. And finally, after that 2 weeks, I got down, face down right on the carpet in our beautiful home that we had in Oklahoma. So blessed. God blessed us financially, blessed with cars, blessed with the home. But I was a train wreck. So at that point, not being able to hear God, feel him, I went to his word. And I laid down prostrate right on my carpet, and I cried out to God like I'd never cried out to him before in a long time. And I said, God, I said, I can't hear you. I can't feel you. There's nothing. I can't even hear you, feel you. And I said, but God, I know you're not a man that you would lie. And I know you watch over your word to perform it, and it will not return unto you void, but it will set forth and accomplish that which it was purposed to do. And your word says, God, that you will never leave me and never forsake me, and you'll be with me to the uttermost parts of the earth. So I claimed his word. I spoke his word. I held on to his word because I know his word is true, and he's not a man that he should lie. He's going to watch over his word. I held him to his word.
Amen.
And I hung on to that. And I began to get in the Word and devour the Word again. And that Word began to manifest in my life. That Word began to change directions of the way I was heading. And that Word set me free. Set me free from alcohol. Set me free from wanting to do the wrong things, go the wrong places. That Word restored me. I read a place in the Bible where it says, and I'd opened up my Bible and I was searching the Word, and I found a place in Isaiah, and it said, and the Lord let it go forth to the ends of the earth with singing and joy, that the Lord has redeemed His servant Jacob. And then right there, I'd some years ago, when I'd been previously studying the Bible, right above Jacob, I put Tori. And so when I read that, I said, let it go forth to the ends of the earth with shouting and singing of joy that the Lord has redeemed His servant Tori. And I hung on to that, Curtis. I hung on to that redemption. I felt that was the Lord speaking to me. Mm-hmm. He's redeemed me. He's brought me back. Yeah. He's got me hook, line, and sinker. I'm bought in. And so at that point, I can walk down the aisle in Raley's. All that alcohol, I go over there in that section quite a bit, in that area where all those organic foods are, and the health section. Well, right next to it's that alcohol, the whole line of it. I can walk down there. Doesn't even faze me a bit.
Really?
I can go anywhere. I'm not even drawn in a little bit. I don't, not even at all.
Wow.
Because I'm so full of his love, of his mercy, of what he's done for me. Man, I'm telling you, he is so good. He has saved me, redeemed me, brought me back, restored me. And now how much more time we've got? Because I've got an amazing story on how we got to Kansas.
6 minutes, 5 minutes. No, wait a minute. About 5 to 7 minutes.
Okay, so it's amazing things. Okay, so God is with us. And then we end up moving from Oklahoma to Kansas. Spent a couple years out in western Kansas. My wife is a holistic health coach, and we have an amazing home-based business that she does. And by that and the leading of the Lord, we went back to where I grew up in western Kansas, and was around my mom and my sister and my family. And I was an executive director for a community foundation during that time there. And I am praying. I'm praying to the Lord. I'm praying to the Lord about healing, and I'm seeking healing ministry because my dad passed away of lymphoma. His brother died of lymphoma. I had an aunt that died of cancer. And so I have a heart and a passion for people to be healed and not to receive that healing that was bought and paid for already through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I'm seeking healing, the healing anointing, and I believe in healing. I believe in the Word. The Word is truth.
By His stripes we are healed.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That's
the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm seeking healing. I'm studying on healing. And I'm in my prayer closet one morning, Curtis. And I said, God, I said, those healing ministers that had that healing anointing, I said, they really went through something. They almost died, or a lot of them, did die, and you brought them back. And I said, I really don't want to go through that. And I said, I certainly don't want my kids to go through that.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, but you've brought me out of a pit of my own despair.
Yeah.
And you've set me upon the rock of Jesus. And I said, if I really had to go through that, Lord, I've got faith, and I know that you'd be with me, but I really don't want to go through that.
He heard you.
Yeah, I was, so I'm in my prayer closet. The shower is my prayer closet. And as soon as I said that, I felt the Lord just, bam, answer me like that. And He says, if you really don't want to go through that, and you really have faith, quit your job and come follow me.
Amen.
And I don't recommend everybody do this. You better know you hear from the Lord before you go quitting your job, okay? So I heard that. All stress, anxiety melted away off my body.
Amen.
I felt incredible. I got out of the shower, dried myself off, got dressed, went up, and I told my wife what the Lord had just told me about quitting my job and come follow Him. And she goes, yep, that sounds great. It sounds good to me. And so, you know, the Lord had, you know, already had already conveyed that to her.
Woman of faith.
Yes. Oh, it's good to have one, right?
I tell you, a good woman or a bad woman,
you want a good one.
I've never had one.
Well, keep praying and keep sinking. You'd be better off not to have one than to have a bad one. But when you got a good one, it's from the Lord. It's a great and powerful thing. So we at that point, the Lord tells me to quit my job. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to speed this up.
Yeah.
But I end up doing it. I quit my job. I walk away from my job. And so at that point, my cousin that lives out here, her name is Lori, and she had been after me to come out forever. And through some holistic health care through of my wife, we were able to come out here. They had purchased a water ionizer from us, and we said, okay, we'll come out and set it up. So let me check my schedule. I'm open, right? So we'd go out there, and we'd kind of been dreaming about, hey, what are we going to do when we get out there? And so we're driving out, and we get to Reno, and we start coming down that mountain, and I look up, and I'm like, wow, why would anybody live in Kansas? Man, this is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And a lot of great people in Kansas. There are a lot of good, God-fearing people there. My family lives there, and a lot of wonderful people. So we start coming down that mountain, and I feel the Lord tell me, call Rhonda, who's the realtor back in this little town that we lived in Kansas, and put your house on the market. I'm like, okay. So we get into town, and I'm like, I drive by, and there's a Solar City box truck.
Mm.
And I go a little bit further. There's a Solar City install van. And then there's I go into Home Depot, and I meet a guy from Solar City who gives me a number of a recruiter. And I call and talk to the recruiter for 45 minutes, and they say, hey, can you come in on Thursday for an interview? And I said, sure. So I go in for the interview, and they hire me on the spot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So what do I do? So I'm crying out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And I felt the Lord tell me, sell everything and come follow me. And I'm like, okay. So I go to my wife. I tell her, and she says, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So I left my wife there over Thanksgiving, went home, and I sold off everything in our house, gave things away, blessed people. It was so fun. And this lady comes over, and I was selling things off, and she said, Tori, I really like your home. She said, it's a little bigger than my home. I could have my family over. She goes, I'm going to go home and call your realtor and put my house on the market and see if I can buy yours. And I said, well, wouldn't it be amazing if the people that are coming to look at our home on Sunday like yours better, buy your home, and you buy ours? And that's what happened. In 1 week, they weren't even pre-approved. So they got pre-approved in a week. So 2 homes sold in a week for me to be free from that house in Kansas. So we, at that point, just FedExed boxes out here to California. And I drove out in our other car. Had it full to the gills, brother. I'm telling you, I couldn't hardly see out. And made it out here, and we have been here, and it's been an amazing blessing. We love Northern California. We are so grateful and honored to be here, and I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done in my life. He has saved me, healed me, delivered me, set me free, put me on a path of His goodness, and I've been able to preach for some congregations, and He's just opened up doors. Like I've never dreamed that He could do, and I'm so grateful that He pursued me with His love, Curtis.
And that's what
His love overcame all darkness, and He is the reason I'm living. He is the reason. I'm telling you what, we all know the time is getting close.
Yeah.
It's closer every day, but I'm telling you, I never thought I would graduate high school. I thought Jesus would come first. Well, now that's been 20.
We don't know how much longer we have.
We don't know.
We just need to be ready. And listeners, what Christ did for Tori, He can do for you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What He brought Tori through, He can bring you through.
Yes.
How He revealed Himself to Tori, He can reveal Himself to you. And if you don't know Him today, what are you waiting for? Tomorrow? You're not promised tomorrow. You have no idea you're going to make it till tomorrow. Why don't you give your life to Him today? Why don't you open your eyes up today and say, Lord, come in, make yourself real to me, reveal yourself to me. He'll do it.
Call upon the name of Jesus.
His grace is sufficient, but His grace isn't going to last forever. Don't take advantage of it. Turn to Him today. Well, we're going to have to cut the show. It's over. So until next week. And next week we will have YWAM back on the show with us again.
Hey, great organization.
Oh yeah. Dane will be our guest with another person in the studio. And until then, we will talk to you later. Feel free to call the station, 894-7325, and have a great week and God bless. Talk to you later. Oh, may the Lord be with you. Until we meet again.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.